The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I love a little ZZ Top in the morning. May Dusty Hill rest in peace. Good to be with you. Jimmy Sangenberger in for Peter Boyles. We're getting to the final few segments here on the show, but of course I will be back tomorrow morning, 6 to 9, right here on News Talk 710 KNUS with the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. Among my guests, Congresswoman from Florida, but a Colorado native herself, Kat Kamak will join us. Looking forward to that and so much more. 6 to 9 tomorrow, and coming up in about an hour, a little under, will be none other than George Brockler for the George Brockler Show at 9 to 10 every weekday right here on, once again, News Talk 710 KNUS. Before we get to our guest, Keith Nobles, I want to talk with Mike, still on that theme and topic of oil. Mike, you're on the radio show. Jimmy in for Peter.
Jimmy, love your show. I'm a retired Army colonel in beautiful Colorado Springs.
Thank you for your service.
Well, when I was in Iraq, first of all, when I was in Kuwait, quick story, I was looking on the highway, which would be like I-25, and I saw oil tanker trucks that, 10 miles. And it's a petrochemical world. It is a petrochemical world. So I was talking to one of my two stars who shall remain nameless. And he basically said, you know why we're here, Mike? It's the oil, stupid. There was no question, honestly. We wanted that oil pumping. A lot of it goes to Europe. A lot of it goes to the Far East, Japan, Korea. You know, those nations don't create one barrel of oil. They're all importers. You know, it's a global commodity. So,
Mike, which Iraq war?
I was there 05 to 06.
Okay. Okay, just wanted to clarify on that. Thank you again for your service. Yeah, it is global. It's a very interesting commodity when we talk about oil, but it also is so fascinating when you have people like Jennifer Granholm and President Biden and Joe Biden, Jen Psaki, and the rest, how they talk about it. Just either they're ignorant of it or they just don't care. I mean, there's a little bit of ignorance here when you talk about Jennifer Granholm. Take a listen to this.
Well, if you had a four-star general, and maybe we have one of them with Milley, who didn't know anything about the military, and your energy secretary doesn't know how many barrels of oil
that's what I was
today,
about to play
insane.
As a exactly. Take a listen to this real quick.
There are various figures about this, so I'm curious if you know, how many barrels of oil does the U.S. consume per day?
I don't have that number in front of me.
So some suggest it's about 18 million, which would suggest you're releasing less than 3 days' worth of supply from the petroleum reserve.
There you go, Mike.
It's insane. Can I give you another quick topic?
Real quick.
Okay. I was on the Department of Education webpage. There's a social studies curriculum. It's a 145-page document, and it is CRT clothed in other – it's a wolf in sheep's clothing. I would invite your listeners to look at that and comment on that. I'll just give you my comment. It is disgusting.
State or federal Department of Education?
It's right here in the great centennial state of Colorado.
Okay.
It's there right now for public comments on the social studies curriculum webpage. It's a 145-page document.
Right.
It's replete with – race. It has preschoolers talking about each other's race and skin color. It's a piece of disgusting garbage.
Well, Mike, I'm going to look it up because I ran an educational nonprofit for 7 years that focused on civic education and the Constitution in schools. And we had to work ourselves into the social studies curriculum, and I had studied up on that. So I'm going to look into this a little bit more. I'm glad you brought it up, Mike. So thank you.
Well, God bless you. You have a great show.
Thank you. You as well. 303-696-1971, our telephone number. My last and final, but last but not least guest is the author of a novel called Our Dogs Did Not Bark, a politically incorrect dystopian tale. For over a decade, he was a contractor to the military intelligence community, particularly during the last decade or so of the Cold War. He also has a really keen mind for an understanding of economic matters and more. Keith Nobles joins me here on good old 710 KNUS. Good morning, Keith. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning, Jimmy. How are you?
You know, I'm doing pretty darn well. I was enthused to hear that you got out of Facebook jail a day or two ago. Is that right?
That's right. That utterly, completely absurd.
Well, it was. So what? You were out for, 24 hours and then got back in for 3 minutes and then were shut out for three more days?
Yes. Yes. And they axed my the Nobles Financial Network page.
So this is a Facebook page that you had for how long?
About 8 years.
And you really built that thing up, Nobles Financial Network Facebook page.
Yeah, it was a page dedicated to free market economics and the politics and culture contributing or detracting from free market economics. And real short, Facebook earlier this year went back, apparently they ran their algorithm through many years of things I had posted and found two things that they disagreed with. One was I had quoted on my personal page, I quoted Mussolini with the warning that if we weren't careful, here's where we're headed.
Yeah. And I had heading in the direction of Mussolini and authoritarian regimes.
Exactly. This whole fascist idea of a government controlling what corporations do, what business does. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was a meme that many people have seen. It was a children's book meme, and it said A Child's Guide to Political Discourse with the subtitle Everyone I Don't Like is Hitler.
Yeah.
Everyone is probably, or many people have probably seen that meme.
Mm-hmm.
So based on that, they crushed my, for the Nobles Financial Network, they crushed my reach. They took me off of people's news feeds. You had to go look the page up. It wasn't just delivered to you on Facebook. So my reach, the number of people who saw the page every month, Facebook reduced it from 36 million to 32,000 a month. And then, last week, I referenced a horse vessel in a post on my personal page, and I had a meme on the Nobles Financial Network that said, many people have seen the photograph of people doing the Hitler salute and one guy not doing it with the circle around the guy not doing it. And the meme said, when the time came, you promised you'd be this guy, but the time came and you were not this guy.
Mm.
And Facebook, axed the page over that meme. So it's utterly absurd.
Let me tell you, because folks, most people listening aren't familiar with you, Keith. You are not somebody who posts stuff that you would think would get flagged. Like, you're a very thoughtful person. You have a keen understanding of countless issues, and you do things, if you share memes or whatever, with a very specific and pointed point.
Yes, yes. And here's the end result of this, Jimmy, really. It drives us into lies of omission, into intellectual dishonesty.
Mm.
If we cannot honestly discuss what Mussolini said and how it might be relevant to what we're doing today, if we cannot honestly discuss the really important, significant historical events and people of the last 100 years, then yes, it's lies of omission that we're compelled into. And by compelling us into that, it compels us into intellectual dishonesty.
Yeah,
you can't actually sit down and say, this is what this is, and this is, you know, where this came from, and these are, you know, the genesis of these kinds of ideas.
Keith Nobles, our guest. I want to play a clip here. This is Rachel Maddow and Hillary Clinton talking about the rise of authoritarianism on the world stage and here at home, but from a very different sort of angle than the kind of authoritarianism I think you and I are recognizing. I want to play this clip, get your reaction, Keith.
Ann Applebaum essentially says, if the 20th century was the story of slow, uneven progress toward liberal democracy, the 21st century so far is the story of the reverse. She says, you know, not only what's going on in the United States is a reversal away from democracy, but we should see it as part of a global problem. She identifies in particular that the authoritarian strongman regimes around the world are all helping each other including, you know, personally supporting other corrupt leaders in their corruption and helping them evade sanctions and stuff. And it does feel both global and very hard to fight. It feels almost inexorable. And speaking with Anne Applebaum about that, I found myself sort of in a dark place for a few days. And I wanted to put that to you to find out whether you see that through a lens darkly as well, or whether you're feeling more optimistic about strategy against it.
Well, Rachel, I am very worried, concerned. I spent a lot of time thinking about exactly what Anne Applebaum and you and others are worried about and trying to point out, because I do think that we are facing a crisis of democracy, a crisis of legitimacy, a crisis that really goes to the heart of what the future of our country and many others around the world will be.
Quite frankly, Keith, I tend to agree with a lot of their sentiments, but I think for very different reasons.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. And this really gets to the kind of the heart of the difference in how, say, you and I view things versus, say, how Ms. Maddow or Mrs. Clinton view things. They're talking about authoritarianism as opposed to democracy. They're not talking about authoritarianism as opposed to liberty.
Yes.
And, of course, Maddow and Clinton view are perfectly fine with authoritarianism if democracy delivers authoritarianism with them in positions of prominent power.
Great point.
Right?
Well, you look at democratic socialism, like that's the antithesis of liberty, yet it's democratic.
No, exactly. I mean, they're perfectly fine with authoritarianism as long as they can get 50% plus one vote to justify it.
Right.
And our goal here isn't democracy. Our goal here is liberty. Our goal here is the preservation of your individual rights, the preservation of your property.
Yeah.
And no, that is not something that Clinton or Maddow care about whatsoever.
The kind of authoritarianism.
Democracy is.
Sorry, Keith,
go ahead. They view democracy as their path to power for themselves, not as a means of defending liberty.
Well, you can look at sort of the differential. The authoritarianism they're thinking about is where the wolf just decides unilaterally to eat the sheep. What they think of as democracy is the wolves get together and vote to eat the sheep.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I mean, the model since 1824, let's just be frank, since 1824, the model of the Democratic Party has been to get 50% plus one to inflict their will. That's really what it is. There's no higher goal, such as liberty, that's involved here. It's simply using democracy to gain power and wealth to myself, not in defense of any higher ideal.
Sure. Keith Noble's our guest, author of the novel Our Dogs Did Not Bark, a politically incorrect dystopian tale, which is very apropos of this discussion, I might add. We're going to take a quick break. On the other side, we're going to pick up and get the former military intelligence contractor's thoughts on China, plus what we're seeing with this economic malaise, Biden inflation, and more. I'm Jimmy Sangenberger, in for Peter Boyles. Keep it right here. News Talk 710 KNUS. Jimmy Sangenberger in for Peter Boyles. Good morning. Great to be with you today. Going to be a high of 65, a low of 30, mostly sunny on this beautiful Friday after Thanksgiving. Such a pleasure and a privilege to be with you. Joined by my friend Keith Nobles, author of the novel Our Dogs Did Not Bark, a politically incorrect dystopian tale. And he is a former military intelligence contractor for a little over a decade. Particularly during the close of the Cold War. And he has been arguing for a long time that since the mid to late 90s, we have been in a Cold War with China. And earlier in the show, we spent some time talking with Gordon G. Chang about China. And Keith, I want to ask you to sort of give us a broad sense right now for what you're thinking is going on vis-a-vis China and the Chinese Communist Party with so many different areas of concern, and maybe how that ties in with your notion of a Cold War since the mid-90s.
Well, China, 25 years ago, was allowed to join the World Trade Organization. And they very much changed the model of how they did things to focus on building their economy. Now, we've heard a lot. You have, I have. Perhaps many of the listeners probably have. If you look at social media, things like this, people talking about peak capitalism and things like that. China really does believe that we may have reached peak capitalism, and China is right now reverting away from many of the free market reforms they have adopted the last 25 years, back toward something Mao would be more comfortable with. At the same time, the Chinese economy is in decline. That's probably the biggest thing people aren't presently talking about very much. China's manufacturing is maybe at 80 to 90% of what it was 2 years ago. And, of course, they blame that on COVID. And COVID certainly has something to do with it, but Chinese manufacturing was beginning to decline before the Wuhan virus became known. So China's in a really interesting spot in that the Communist Party is clamping down on China, on the Chinese people, on Chinese corporations. They are not buoying up their corporations like they were before. The Chinese banking industry is horribly corrupt. And while we're at this is just one more thing people don't really talk about much that people need to be cognizant of is the level of casual corruption in China, especially between the Communist Party and any of these enterprises that go into business trying to sell products overseas, and especially in Chinese banking. It is all horribly corrupt. And the model has been, historically, whenever there is a new leader of the Communist Party in China, he prosecutes the previous regime for corruption, and his people take over the existing corruption. They get the paychecks, so he prosecutes the previous people for their paychecks. Mm-hmm. So all in all, China is in this great moment of change. I perhaps disagree with Gordon Chang a little bit. I don't know that China at the moment is a great threat militarily. I think they're trying to make themselves militarily look more potent and powerful than they are because they understand that their economy is receding and the Communist Party is trying to revert to something closer to Maoism to control that decline of their economy so that it doesn't end up with a
interesting.
Something close to the Berlin Wall in 1989.
I think that's a really intriguing proposition and way of looking at what's going on with China. I want to get your reaction to Noam Chomsky and him questioning China's threat and sort of the nature of the concern that America has in its foreign policy vis-a-vis China. Take a listen to this. We'll get your response, Keith Nobles.
Recently, the distinguished statesman, former Prime Minister Paul Keating, did have a essay in the Australian press about the China threat. He finally concluded, realistically, that the China threat is China's existence. The U.S. will not tolerate the existence of a state that cannot be intimidated the way Europe can be, that does not follow U.S. orders the way Europe does, but pursues its own course. That's the threat. When we talk about the threat of China, we're talking about alleged threats at China's borders. China does plenty of wrong things, terrible things. You can make many criticisms, but are they a threat?
Okay, Keith Nobles, so maybe they're not a military threat, but what do you think is the threat of China? And what about this idea that it's simply about the existence of a state that cannot be intimidated by the United States?
You just, real quickly, some history.
Oh. Keith, you're cutting out for just a moment there.
Keith, okay.
Okay. I think that's better.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe not.
Some history of Noam Chomsky. Oh, am I doing okay there? Can you hear me?
I think you're fine now.
Okay. I'm trying not to move.
All right, we are having an issue here at the phone connection with Keith Nobles. He is author of the novel Our Dogs Did Not Bark, a politically incorrect dystopian tale. Again, for more than a decade, he was a contractor to the military intelligence community. Let's go ahead, take a break. We will get this cleared up. We'll continue our conversation, get his reaction to Noam Chomsky here on News Talk 710 KNUS. Jimmy Sangenberger in for Peter Boyles. Final segment, Jimmy Sangenberger in for Peter Boyles on this Friday, November 26th. Back in the saddle tomorrow morning with the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, which runs every Saturday morning from 6 to 9, right here on News Talk 710 KNUS. Among my guests, Congresswoman Kat Kamak of Florida, who on the floor of the House just over a week ago, actually maybe included a week ago today, she condemned Build Back Broke, which is that heinous, supposedly about $2 trillion, but really multiply that by two, spending bill, social spending bill, $555 billion included on climate change endeavors, on like a Green New Deal type of approach. Nonsense. We'll talk with her about that. She also said she was voting hell no on that bill, and I do appreciate a member of Congress who votes hell no on big government monstrosities. Speaking of big government monstrosities, we're talking about China and the Chinese Communist Party and the nature of the threat with Keith Nobles, our guest, author of the novel Our Dogs Did Not Bark, a politically incorrect dystopian tale. He was a contractor to the military intelligence community in the last decade of the Cold War. And I want to replay this clip for context for those just joining us. It is Noam Chomsky questioning the nature or the existence of a Chinese threat. And then we'll get Keith's response as we have him back.
Recently, the distinguished statesman, former Prime Minister Paul Keating, did have a essay in the Australian press about the China threat. He finally concluded, realistically, that the China threat is China's existence. The U.S. will not tolerate the existence of a state that cannot be intimidated the way Europe can be, that does not follow U.S. orders the way Europe does, but pursues its own course. That's the threat. When we talk about the threat of China, we're talking about alleged threats at China's borders. China does plenty of wrong things, terrible things. You can make many criticisms, but are they a threat?
Existence of a state that cannot be intimidated or won't just obey U.S. orders. Keith Nobles, what are your thoughts?
Well, so let's go back. A little history about Noam Chomsky, so we have context around this. In the 60s and 70s, Noam Chomsky was funded by the Soviet Union. Now, he may claim he was unaware he was funded by the Soviet Union, but the point is, for 55 years, Noam Chomsky has carried the water for murderous communist dictatorships all around the world and defended them. So let's just put that out there so everybody understands where Noam Chomsky comes from.
Right.
So that's number one. Number two, as far as China being a threat, I think it's important people understand why China is and is not a threat. The same strategic limitations China has prevented them from, say, moving on Taiwan for 70 years still exist. And that is this, that China has to import food and China has to import oil and other energy, coal. If China was to, say, move on Taiwan, the United States could diminish or prohibit China's ability to import food and energy for some period of time. And that is the risk to China to moving on Taiwan or any place else. is really the United States Navy, the United States Air Force, and our ability to prohibit them from importing what they need. When you have a country of 1.5 billion people, not having food for a couple of weeks is a big deal. The last thing the Communist Party in China wants is a war that produces internal discontent on a massive scale. And that's the risk China runs going to war, say, over Taiwan or anywhere else. That being said, if China thought they could get away with it, they would absolutely take Taiwan. I have no doubt about that. One of the better things the Biden administration has done in the midst of all this incompetency they've demonstrated is they have continued to demonstrate to China that we would defend Taiwan. And so I am doubtful that China will be making a move here on Taiwan. In the novel I wrote, Our Dogs Do Not Bark, it was predicated on us. It was a book about – a novel about the United States becoming a progressive dictatorship. But it was predicated on our losing the war to China. But in the novel, what I had was the United States losing a war to China in a war that lasted hours. China cannot afford a war that lasts weeks or months simply because they what they have to import. Now, China has, over the last 10 years, tried to change that strategic dynamic with what some people call the New Silk Road or Belt Road. And basically, the whole idea there was China's trying to build an infrastructure where they could import what they needed, food and energy, from Africa, from the Middle East, from Eastern Europe, overland, through Asia. And that effort has fundamentally failed. So China's effort to change the strategic dynamic has been a failure. And this is part of the predicament they're in right now, trying to manage the decline of their economy. And, of course, what's interesting, that effort failed very much because of corruption, because people did not trust China.
Yeah, I think that's a very important point and really interesting context and understanding of where the Chinese regime is actually a threat or isn't a threat to the United States, because there are definitely threats posed, but there are certain ways where you talk about the military style threat. That's one thing that Chomsky in this interview, which was with the Left Wing Democracy Now, he was emphasizing is that they're not really much of a military threat. And it seems like that's the case, but there are so many, especially with technology, really quick, Keith Nobles, especially with technology these days, there are many other avenues at which China can indeed and is a threat to the United States.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We could expect more cyber attacks originating from China. Mm-hmm. I fully anticipate that's the case. As China moves, like as I said previously, says China moves back toward something closer to what Mao would recognize, they are going to paint the United States as the great Satan.
Yeah,
they need an enemy to focus their people on. They need someone to blame.
Yeah.
For the inadequacies and incompetencies and failures of communism.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they're going to blame the United States, just like the Soviet Union blamed the United States for their failures.
Right.
Just like Noam Chomsky blames the United States.
Right.
I mean, that's fundamentally what he does.
Well, and Keith, there's a movie out that has now become already China's biggest film ever by far, making nearly $900 million already. The Battle at Lake Changjin, which is about a battle, a defeat of the United States in the Korean War that helped lead us to departing from Korea.
Oh yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That's very much the direction they're moving.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's because economically and in terms of global power, they are receding. Mm-hmm. At least for the time being, China has probably hit their peak. They're declining, and they're honestly probably just trying to find some plateau to the decline where they can stabilize things. That's probably what the Communist Party in China right now is hoping to be able to do.
This is really interesting. I had a look at trying to get you and Gordon Chang on together at some point, because he seems to continue to think that the Chinese regime is, at least on, at this point, is riding pretty high. That's my impression, that they're in a strong position.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't think the numbers justify that. Let's be clear, so everybody understands who's listening. When you see data come out of China, like economic data, it's a fraud.
Yeah.
Just that's just the truth. Okay, there are other means by which you can gauge Chinese economic
strength,
growth or decline. Mm-hmm. But the numbers that come out of China are not what you would gauge that on. Those are fraudulent numbers, and they always have been.
Words of wisdom from Keith Nobles, author of the novel Our Dogs Did Not Bark, A Politically Incorrect Dystopian Tale. Thank you so much for joining us, my friend. Always a pleasure.
Oh, thank you for having me on, Jimmy. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Have a great weekend and happy Thanksgiving. Keith Nobles joining us. Very interesting insights from, again, a contractor to the military intelligence community in the last decade of the Cold War. And it is important to have these sorts of nuanced discussions, I think, when we're talking about threats on the world stage and whatnot, and how that way we can combat it effectively and understand the lay of the land and not just be drawn into whatever seems like or feels like it must be right. That's not just in the context of China. It's a context of a whole swath and range of issues, to be sure. Boy, oh boy, has the time flown right on by, but I see behind the glass George Brockler, the man himself, warming up in a bullpen, ready to come on in here and do his thing for the next hour from 9 to 10, of course, the George Brockler Show here on News Talk 710 KNUS. I will be back tomorrow morning with the Jimmy Sengenberger Show that is now Saturday mornings from 6 to 9 on this very station. We're going to have some great conversations about a range of topics. I hope you will join us then and call into the program. It's always such a treat, a pleasure, and a privilege to be here on good old News Talk 710 KNUS. And I just want to play a clip to round things out. My column in Colorado Politics on Wednesday, Stranded Hospitals Blame Government, talks a little bit about how 2 weeks to slow the spread became months of lockdowns, mask wearing, and severe restrictions and disruptions on schools, businesses, medical procedures, and living our lives. And eventually it was about encouraging vaccinations. Now it's on to vaccine passports to enjoy life. Soon enough, forced booster shots. Yet again, businesses are told to enforce it. And somehow I'm reminded of Darth Vader to Lando Calrissian.
I am altering the deal. Pray I don't alter it any further.
As government continues to change the rules. Oh my goodness. I'm Jimmy Sengenberger, back tomorrow morning. We'll talk about that topic and more, including Congresswoman Kat Kamak of Florida. On the Jimmy Sengenberger Show, 6 to 9 here on News Talk 710 KNUS. George is up next. Have a great weekend. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm very thankful for all of you. Here are wonderful listeners on 710 KNUS. And as I always like to say, may God bless America. Have a great weekend.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.